Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Logan. And welcome to Couch Musings.
Where we talk about asinine bullshit for your pleasure.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing will matter, but don't worry, it matters to us.
And you probably shouldn't think about it too much, but keep it in the back of your head. Alright. You know, with this is our first episode. We're going to call this episode zero, because this may or may not be uploaded. Depending on how this one, you know, turns out. This is kind of like a learning process for us.
Yeah, mostly sound test and a combination of I'm sick, so I sound like shit.
Yeah, we'll see how everything sounds when we, like, process. Because, like, as Zach said, he's sick. And earlier it didn't show too much, like, in your voice, but as we go on, it might do that. We don't know yet.
Well, we'll see how it works. This is just kind of a test run, kind of feel the water. We're going to be talking about a couple things about something.
Yeah.
About D&D stuff, Dungeons and Dragons, because y'all know that's how you get the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
It's Dungeons and fucking Dragons.
Why am
I here?
I don't know. Like, I mean, we should have, like, women surrounding us just at the mention of Dungeons and Dragons.
I should be swimming in pussy, and I'm not. Because I'm not currently playing Dungeons & Dragons. That's why I'm not.
That's it. We're just talking about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. The brief little background with us in D&D. I've played quite a number of campaigns. I'm currently player in one of them, one and a half. And then I'm DMing one. And the only reason why I said playing in one and, like, in half of one is because I have, like, a co-DM for a brief little bit in this story, and I'm a character in that.
And then me, I play a paladin in three different campaigns.
Two.
So there are two. Well, it used to be three.
No, because Xyphus is a...
Oh, that's right, Xyphus is a rager.
Yeah.
So, my dumbass, I'm only playing two paladins. I'm mostly a player. I've played more than just the three sessions that I'm in. I've played a couple before that. It's just in these past couple recent years that I'm really getting into Dungeons and Dragons as far as, like, learning the rules and studying on things. Mainly because before I didn't have the excess time for it. Now that we're kind of got our own money, and we're getting into our own kind of trouble, moved out and all that kind of thing, there's some more excess time to kill. So, Dungeons & Dragons obviously fills that. I've always had a lot of fun with it. Past the whole sarcastic, and we're all swimming in pussy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. We were going to talk about basically some of the base classes that are in D&D, the 3.5 book. You said you mentioned you pulled them from certain books.
Yeah, basically, what we're going to take a look at right now is only 3.5. That's personally my favorite edition of Dungeons & Dragons. I know a lot of D&D players are split on that because there are a lot of unbalanced things in 3.5, but it is my favorite. To my knowledge, have you played anything other than 3.5? Besides that one, hour session that we had.
Oh, that wasn't 3.5?
No.
What was that?
That was 5. That was the test version of 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I've only played 3.5. I've only played 3.5 or Homebrew 3.5. So, I have not played 4 or 5 or any of the ones before that. Classic, real nitty-gritty D&D where you gotta get, like, a whole bag of dice and it's less fun. So, if you like the old D&D, by all means, have fun living in the past, but,
fired on our first podcast.
Yep, but I have a lot of fun with 3.5, probably because I don't know anything else. I probably wouldn't enjoy any of the other ones that are out there, just because it's the kind of, D&D is the sort of thing where it's nice to sit down and, like, play tabletop every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's not as fucking expensive as Warhammer, I used to play Warhammer. I could never afford the figures, though, because I was either not making any money or I was never making enough money. I don't even think now, with owning my own place and car and everything, that I can afford Warhammer 40K without going broke.
Yeah, I think even if we took, like, rent out of the equation, I couldn't ever be, like, a full-on Warhammer player just because of the fact that it's a lot of money.
Yeah. And it's easier to set up. Like, if you've got a grid and some minis, you can set everything up. And that's just for combat. You know, there's a lot of fun with role-playing. Me, all my friends are nerds, so it's fun and easy. You know, it's not weird unless you make it weird kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I have a lot of fun. It's different. And it's very creative, a very awesome outlet, because I'm a writer myself, so I love writing just stories that I have in my head, I've had for a while, and also writing these backstories to these characters is really awesome for me, super expressive, and you get to live in this world that the DM makes, and it's kind of great.
Yeah, and I'm very similar with Zach. I'm a very creative person. I like creating stories, and that's partly why I like DMing. There are a lot of technicalities which are a little annoying. But, like, the actual... Just playing a character is super fun, too. I think, honestly, if you get rid of the social stigma around Dungeons & Dragons, I feel like as if a lot of other people would enjoy playing it. Yeah. It's just that that D&D has, like, reputation of being uncool. And, you know, while I'm not going to defend it and say, like, oh, it should be as mainstream as football or anything like that.
Obviously it's not going to be like that. But I also feel like D&D is one of those things where, with the new pop culture and the way that it's turning, I feel like D&D is one of those it's one of those things that, by proxy of video games and movies and all these things, are getting less nerdy. It used to be super nerdy to, like, enjoy reading comic books or have a superhero t-shirt on. Now they sell them at Target, and the Avengers is one of the top grossing movies of all time.
Yeah,
like a story about a team of superheroes, which albeit like 20, 30 years ago, only a certain crowd would know. Now, most of America and the world knows about these characters.
Yeah, like Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, those are household names now. Like,
yeah.
And they were always, like, you know, a little bit bigger in the scene, but, like, they never really reached too much outside of that. Like, if you went to a high school and say, like, late 80s, and you were like, oh, so I picked up the new X-Force, issue, everybody's gonna look at you and call you a fucking nerd. And now, like, if you mention, also, you know, after seeing the new movie, I started reading the Ultron, like, line in The Avengers, and it's pretty cool. People will be like, oh, sweet, how does it compare? Like, people will actually be, like, genuinely interested now.
Yeah, I think that, and D&D is one of those things, too, because even though I generally don't like the show, the Big Bang Theory has, like, taken that whole movement of, okay, pop culture is starting to change, and just threw it out the window, where all of these things that make people nerdy, like movies and videos and Star Wars and comics and collectibles and figures and computers and
all
knowing things. Like, if you used to read a book, you used to be called a nerd. When I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Now, with that show coming out, even though I don't really like it, I feel like it's pandering. I feel like it's really just kind of like, nerd is the new cool now.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Like, Big Bang Theory, along with the Avengers movies and stuff like that, all this is, like, you know, focal tipping of, like, popular culture. As well as, like, the fact that social interactions through, like, internet and stuff, you know, people are able to, like, talk about their interests, and then it just spreads a little more. So, like, it makes it from, like, the small little, like, you know, a lot of people call it, like, antisocial groups to, like, a bigger event. But anyway, we really delved from there.
Well, that's because in this day and age on the internet, it doesn't hurt to explain yourself a little bit.
That's true. That's very true.
So, my nasally voice will now command us to move on to the list that we have. We put in order what we feel like is the best, as far as worst to best classes in base 3.5 that you can take with base races.
Yeah.
So races without level adjustments that are in the player's handbook.
Yeah, right now we're only including PHB 1, Player's Handbook 1. There are some more in, like, PHB 2 and then the subsequent ones. But when you start adding all that in, this podcast would last for, like, probably, like, 5 hours of debates on, like, what works better.
Yeah.
Plus, also, like, between the two of us, we've probably played a combination of all these characters.
Yeah.
We start going into the expansions, and there are a lot that I haven't played as yet. Some that I would like to, but I haven't yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to judge based off of that. All right. And when we're judging this, we're going to basically talk about, for a player to pick up and play. Keep in mind, if your favorite class in here is lower, we're just talking about the average player picking it up and playing it. Obviously, somebody could be a fantastic monk and play against, like, a horrible, like, you know, fighter or something like that,
yeah.
And the monk would win, but, like, that might not necessarily be our order.
Yeah, so we're talking about expert players playing expert players, maximizing in the best case scenario of a class going up against another class, who would win, who would be, arguably better than the other class.
Yeah.
So to start off with, the worst class that we felt that's in the base classes is a monk.
Yeah, number 11 would be monk.
Because fuck monks.
Yeah, monks, and I'm sorry for any monk players out there. I can almost guarantee if you played a monk and I played, a class that I'm not fantastic in, you'll probably beat me, just because that's something that you specialize in. And for those of you, good for you. But for the rest of us, no. Monks are not good. Monks can be okay with certain feats and, like, certain flaws for feats and everything like that. If you like, fully maximize a monk, they can be good.
Basically, the point of the character is the point of the character is compensating for your character. That's the whole character.
Yeah.
So you're always getting feats that make up for the fact you suck. And you always have to take flaws for feats, and you gotta take that vow of poverty, because otherwise, you'll suck.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you do, you always come out average. Because I bet you money a level 20 monk can't beat a level 20 fighter. I'll put that on money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
That's the expert players, at least, not even expert, just like players that know what they're doing versus another player that knows what they're doing with a monk. And almost any other class, yeah, they're going to lose. The monk will lose.
So let's go over some of the stats, I guess, of a monk. They have a real... Their skills aren't much, and they can't wear armor, and they can't really fight with weapons. They mainly have physical attacks, which, if you're a barbarian and have damage reduction, it's like nothing.
Yeah, like, when it comes to monks, they're into... Their int is a little bit of a, like, better, one of their better skills that you'll invest in, but, like, their skill points, they get 4 plus their int. Their saves aren't horrible, they're not great, they're actually the most average, it's increased by 1 per every, like, 3 levels about. And so, like, while you're not fantastic in 1, you're not horrible in 1 either.
Yeah.
Flurry of Blows can be nice, but... Like Zach said, their damage output, they're a DPS character, and they really aren't DPS. And the fact that they're up-close fighters, and they can only wear light armor at the most, it's unforgivable. I mean...
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I heard you mention something about them improving the monk in later editions.
Yeah.
Because they knew how bad this was.
Yeah.
Because, man... Flurry Blows is cool, but... Let's say I'm a ranger. Well, I can fire, if I'm a level 20 ranger and I've got 5 attacks, I can probably buy a level 20 ranger, fire about 2 or 3 arrows per attack.
Yeah.
So that's not only doubling your output, but not only do I have the ability to be away from you, but you have to get close to me, and you can't take my hits.
And exactly. And, even conversely, if I'm like a level 20 like barbarian or like fighter, I'm built like a brick shithouse. Like, I have a lot of HP, and I have a lot of armor backing me up. You come close to me, I have big swingy sword or big swingy axe, and I hit you with that, that's going to tear through that small armor. Their ace, albeit they do have a little bit of an AC bonus, like, per, like, every 4 levels or so, but it's only, like, an additional 1. And when you're talking about, like, classes like paladins or, like, barbarians who automatically get, and fighters that automatically get access to heavy armor... You know, you're already getting plus 6 armor bonus just from that. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So monks suck.
Monks suck. If I had to pick like a race per the class, human would probably be the best, so you get the extra feat. You need the extra feat. Alright. Number 10, we have Barbarian.
Now, Barbarians, I've never played a Barbarian, but Barbarians are very underwhelming. They have one of the worst saves in the game as far as will. They have a decent fort save, but as compared to other classes, I mean, they do have a great, it goes without noted, they have the best hit die in the game.
Yeah, they have a D12 for their health.
However, they are pretty restrictive as far as what you can play. So if you're a Barbarian, you're the tank. And you can't choose, for some role-playing stuff, if you're into that, you can't choose any non-lawful alignment. So it's a little bit more restrictive than other classes, but it's not too terrible. As far as other things go, you're not really... Rage is one of the saving graces of a Barbarian.
Yeah. Rage is definitely good. You know, it helps with your damage output and helps with your ability to hit. It makes you a little more vulnerable to being hit, but if you're wearing heavy armor and stuff, that'll help out a little bit more. Honestly, a Barbarian, I don't see going from level 1 to 20 as a Barbarian. I think that Barbarian is great to dip in for the first level, because you get Rage to start off with, you automatically get a +2 to your fort, and you get fast movement. You know, that increases your speed by +10. Just to start off with, by dipping into level 1. So, you know, if you're going to do a campaign where you start off as, like, level 3, 5, you know, whatever, anything that doesn't start off at level 1, and you're going to be, like, some sort of fighting character, I would recommend dipping into Barbarian. But I would never really suggest playing out a Barbarian from level 1 to 20. You know, their int is not going to be great, and, you know, they get 4+ int modifier for their skills, so they get a decent amount of skills.
Except they can't read.
And yeah, that's the thing. They automatically start off as illiterate. And depending on your DM and if they're, like, really restrictive when it comes to, like, oh, you're playing a dumb character, you have to roleplay a dumb character. If they're like that, if they're going to be assholes like that, roleplaying a Barbarian is going to be shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not fun. Barbarians are pretty boring.
Yeah.
They make really good tanks, but they're really boring to play with. They're really boring to attack with. They don't help in, I would say they don't really help in dungeons.
Yeah, I mean, like, they have Trap Sense, which is a little helpful. But if you already have a rogue in there, he takes on that role. And I mean, like, right, I can't really stress that Rage is really good. Rage is the only real saving grace from this, and that's why I would always recommend dipping one level into Barbarian. It'll give you a +4 to your strength, +4 to your con, and a +2 on morale saves on wills. You take -2 to your armor class, and it makes you a little more like crazy. But if you're gonna play like a fighter or, you know, something like that, I'd recommend the dip.
Yep, I agree.
Alright, number 9 we have Bard.
Bards are funny because, well, support classes are, I mean, Bard and Ranger and Rogue are really the only obvious support classes, I would say,
other than
Cleric, but a Cleric is pretty overpowered.
Yeah.
Bards are cool. Bards are only good if you have a big party. Let's say you've got, like, 5 people in a party. You can add either the 5th person or a 6th person can be a bard.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, you need... And bards are like, if you have 3 people in a party, none of them are going to be a bard.
Yeah.
Because it's pointless.
If you have, like, the standard 4-person party, don't have one be a bard. Because usually, like, in a 4-party scenario, you have tank, DPS, support, and then glass cannon. And usually with that, like... The support's usually going to be something like a cleric or something that'll, like, you know, help out that way. And a bard, they're great for buff and debuff, but honestly, that's it. They can't really take that much of a hit. They have a D6 hit die, which isn't the worst, but second worst, really. That said, they get a shit ton of skill points, so they're a good skill monkey. And they can easily be one of the faces of the party if that's what they want to do. But, again, a smaller party, I wouldn't recommend going with the bard.
I agree.
And because I forgot to mention, like, suggested race for barbarian, I would probably give it to, like, a half orc. And or then a
dwarf, maybe. A half orc's better for a barbarian.
Yeah, they get the plus in strength, which is nice.
Yeah.
And then, like, as a bard, I would really recommend, like, a halfling or a gnome.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Next, at number 8, we have paladin.
Which, this list is bullshit. No, I'm kidding. I love playing a paladin. I like doing that kind of role-playing where I'm lawful good. Now, 9 times out of 10, if you got a paladin at the party, they're policing the party.
Yeah.
There's a common joke around us where it's like, oh, you're the paladin of the group, aren't you? Because you're the guy who's telling everyone what to do and making sure that it's right. Now, you have a little bit of liberty, depending on the DM and how you do it. But most of the time, this is the most restrictive class to roleplay with. And the payoff is not underwhelming, but it could be better for a paladin. Because a paladin is like a fighter with none of the feats, but you do get divine spells. And the divine spells are good. Paladins are top tier when they're fighting evil. When they're smiting evil, they're like one of the best classes to do it.
Yeah.
However, when you're fighting normal people, the spells don't really compensate, and until you reach level like 9 or 10... is when you really start feeling the impact. Like, it's when you really start feeling your paladin's paying off.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're not hitting that hard. You are a tank class most of the time as a paladin, so you shouldn't be hitting that hard anyway, but you're not really feeling powerful until level 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Paladins are great against undead and evil. Smiting is no joke. They can remove disease. So that makes them decent for the party, as far as, like, if you need an emergency healer in and out of combat, and if you've got an asshole DM that keeps poisoning your characters.
Yeah.
And you have somebody to remove that. If you don't already have a cleric.
The paladin can step in.
Yeah, the paladin can step in. Paladins are kind of DM whores, where the DM can really control a paladin really easily.
Yeah.
So, paladin's a little lower on the list, because it's just, the skills are shit. You don't really get much other than knowledge, religion, and nobility and royalty, and a profession, which is really underwhelming. You get 2 plus your int modifier to skills.
And as a paladin, your int isn't even all that important, so.
Yeah, your int is usually a dump stat for a paladin.
Yeah.
I know it is for mine. So, my skill points per level are pretty abysmal.
Don't you just get, like, 4?
I get... With Gideon? No, I get 6 because my int is... I rolled pretty well for the character. No, I get 4. No, I get 4, that's right. No, I do get 4. It's just 4.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not... It's not the best. The spells get better over time. The saving grace of a paladin is smiting evil, and mounted combat, because you get a mount when you reach paladin level 5, and mounted combat can be wicked sweet with a paladin, because your mount not only feeds off your paladin level, but it feeds off your charisma modifier, which is one of the most important. If you're looking into getting to D&D and you're looking to play a paladin, your charisma and your strength are like the 2 most important things that you can do with your paladin, other than like dex and constitution. Yeah, you really want charisma, because your mount is going to be really, really, really awesome.
Yeah.
You don't get a normal horse or something like that. You get either a war pony or a war horse. Or you get depending on the level that you get, when you get to, like, a really high level as a paladin, you can, like, mount a dragon or something like that. But their AC is indicative of your paladin level, and you can only summon them a certain amount of time for the day. But at level 5, you can already summon your mount for 8 hours a day. So if you're in if you're using them out for combat,
it's going to cover your whole entire combat.
You're going to be fine. So the mounts are great. The spells are decent, and Smite is awesome. But the rest is pretty restrictive and underwhelming.
Yeah, I think to add on to that, paladins are definitely a really good tank class. I don't think anybody's really going to deny that.
Yeah.
Now, like you mentioned, DMs can be complete assholes with paladins.
Yeah.
And going to go into a little bit of a personal experience here. The session that we're a part of, the paladin that Zach was talking about, that he was playing, a couple of sessions ago, we had a whole entire side quest just because Heronius, which is his deity, told him to like do this. And the way that the story was going, either he would go by himself or we would all have to go. And if he went by himself, he probably would have died. So
everyone got dragged along with me, and even though I tried everything I could to not drag everyone else with me, we all ended up going to the island. We had to face Blackguard, and it was a whole mess. It was a decently fun side mission.
Yeah,
and we definitely got railroaded because I was a paladin.
Yeah, that's saying like. I could say, like, from my character's perspective, I probably wouldn't have gone with the side quest, because basically, like, there was a town burning off in the distance. I'm playing a lawful neutral sorcerer, and at this point, we don't know the town, we don't know the island, we didn't really know anything about it, so it really wasn't my place to judge. And our other, I'm gonna say, like, our other party, because when it comes to the party, like, it's pretty much Zach and our friend Dylan. They're like the party heads when it comes to the party. He already, like, stated he didn't want to do it. His character had no reason to do it. And so eventually, yeah, we all kind of caved in and did it. The only reason why I'm bringing this up is because if he chose not to do it, he would have lost his paladin powers, which is one of the biggest threats to a paladin.
I almost forgot about that. Yeah, if you do anything that's outside of your alignment, you have to, depending on how your DM does it, first you're going to lose your paladin power, which basically your god realizes that he chose wrong and is like, well, you're not a paladin anymore. Paylor and Heronius don't like you. So, okay, now what? Well, now you're a fighter with no feats and no spells, because as a paladin, all the special spells, all of your special feats rely specifically on your paladin power. If you lose your paladin's power, you lose all of the rest of it. And you also lose your mount. So you've got a lance on your back with no reason to use it. And so basically you either have to spend the XP to
redeem yourself.
To redeem yourself, or if your DM is willing, you can go on a path of redemption, or you can, you know, go to a church where they can redeem you, or you do something that's indicative of your character to redeem themselves.
Or you become a blackguard.
Or you become a blackguard and fall all the way back down, which the prerequisite to a blackguard is being a fallen paladin. If you were a fallen paladin, say, you know what? What's a good...
God. Just say Heronius. Oh, evil. Okay, fuck it, you can just worship Lucifer.
Yeah, Lucifer. Alright, great, Lucifer. Because I am fallen of Heronius, I now choose you. Well, Lucifer's like, all right! I get one of these guys, and then you become a Blackguard, which is the exact opposite of a paladin. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because you can smite good. And you get to, instead of remove disease, you can spread pestilence.
Yep.
Super fun. Super cool. Except you're going to be the biggest asshole on the planet.
Yeah.
As far as, you know. So paladins are super restrictive, unless you want to be a blackguard.
Yeah. When it comes to, like, race, I would either suggest, like, either a human for the bonus feat, because they are feat starved, or a dwarf for the con bonus.
I would agree with that. I've seen some things in the book. I think half-orc would make a good paladin. I don't know why.
I think, honestly, half-orcs would make a decent paladin because you get the bonus in strength. But you get two minuses in int and charisma.
Which charisma is highly indicative of a paladin.
Yeah.
So never do that.
Yeah, I feel... Unless, like, you roll really great and you just need, like, the bonus of strength. But, like, outside of that, yeah, no.
Dwarf or human.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, go with human. Because you get the feats. And feats help buff your paladin.
Yeah. Alright. Next, at number 7... we have Rogue. Now, the reason why we put Rogue right above Paladin... We actually had a little bit of a debate about this before we even started recording. Mostly because in, like, a one-on-one fight, in, like, regular conditions, nothing ideal, like, favoring either side, a paladin would most likely beat the rogue.
Yeah, in combat.
Yeah, in combat.
In combat, because a rogue, I feel like, can run out of gas faster than a paladin can, because a rogue relies heavily on sneak attacks. However, out of combat... Rogues are much more malleable and maneuverable as far as role-playing and dungeons and all that. They're much more useful to the party as far as that aspect goes.
Yeah. It's no surprise that rogues have the best reflex save in the game out of all these base classes. Their skill list is fantastic. I think they have, like, the most class skills available to them. Out of, like, all of these classes, their skill points, they get 8 plus their int modifier. We were just talking about the paladin, it's 2 plus int modifier. He would have to have, an intelligence score that gives him a plus 6 just to make the base rogue if he didn't have anything in int.
Yes.
Their sneak attacks are really good, and now, while it's great to do the initial damage, if they don't have a party supporting them, or if they don't have something that allows them to hide in plain sight, it's a one trick and you're done.
Yeah.
Eventually, you'll get more stuff that'll help out with that, like a ring of blinking, or like ring of intelligence, or not intelligence, invisibility, which will help out with that. But prior to that point, yeah, you get the good stab, and you better hope that you finish them off.
Yeah.
Because they have a D6 hit die, which is second worst, and they're not meant to take a hit. Like, you know, they are only really good with a... They only have light armor proficiency, and they don't have ability for shield.
Yeah, plus without the ability to add their level to their saves, like a paladin can, which we forgot to mention, but...
Yeah.
Their saves end up being kind of lackluster. They're decent.
Yeah.
Reflex is going to be awesome, and your dex is already going to be high, so it's going to be even higher.
Yeah.
Rogues, now we're not adding this into our debate, but rogues prestige greats.
Yeah.
But that being said, as the base class, not so much.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, rogues are very malleable. You can play a rogue almost any way that you really want to. Anything going from a Robin Hood figure to just, like, an asshole burglar. You know, you can do anything like that. In terms of classes, I would recommend either, like, a human, I'd probably recommend a halfling at this point, too, because they get bonuses to dex, and their small size, which would help out with their AC. Okay, so, on our halfway point, at number 6, we have just standard fighter.
Yeah, fighters are really great as far as their feats go. Fighters are super DPS. They can really put a lot of damage. They have a decent hit die, about 10, which is decent. So a fighter can not only put out damage, they can take a couple hits. Their saves are underwhelming, but they well for make up for that in feats.
Yeah.
Their BAB is nothing to laugh at. And the feats, you get a feat every other level.
And it's fantastic. Their skills aren't the best, admittedly, though. When it comes to their class skills, not really the best. And their skill points really aren't great either. 2 plus int modifier, which int is a dump stat for a fighter.
Yeah.
Fighters are very malleable, especially when it comes to their character. They can range from, you know, a policing, like, almost like a paladin-esque, you know, policing force to, you know, just somebody that joins a party for gold to somebody who wishes to spread evil. They have no alignment issues, and they can be played any way they really want to be.
Yep.
They are primarily DPS. The nice thing with fighters is that they can ultimately, like, if need be, you know, alter themselves a little bit. Say the tank took too many hits already in the middle of a fight. If the tank needs to retreat, the fighter can, like, draw the aggro for a little bit while maybe a cleric or somebody helps heal them. And ordinarily, you want to keep the fighter as DPS. But, yeah.
Fighters are awesome.
Yeah, fighters are pretty awesome. They're a standard... They're one of the easiest classes to pick up and play, especially if you're a new character... If, like, you're new to D&D. If you're new to D&D, I'd really recommend either playing as a fighter or a barbarian. Yeah, barbarian we put at the, like, tail end of it, but it's a good way to get into it.
Yeah. Plus, the fighters... We have a buddy named... Our buddy that plays D&D with us is Dylan. His fighter is always top tier as far as... as far as, like, damage output and criticals and hitting and moving, and the feats really do pay off.
Yeah, it works out fantastic when it comes to that. You know, he knows how to make himself a fighter, which is definitely helpful. In most combat situations, he usually has it under control. He's doing... Next to whoever may be the mage, Dylan usually does play a fighter. And next to whoever the mage is, he'll usually put at the most damage at that point. Except for very situational situations with that. I feel like as if the fighter is the perfect mid-ground, because if you play a good fighter, you can play it, you know, like, you can boost the fighter up a little bit. If you don't optimize your fighter, it can go down a little bit, so that's why I feel like as if it's a perfect, like, midway class when it comes to this.
I agree. With its biggest weakness being magic.
Yeah. Their will saves are not great. Neither are their reflex. But the nice thing with fighters is that, you know, as a fighter, you want to invest in dexterity anyway. So that'll make up for the reflex save. The will save, not too much. You're really limited when it comes to that. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to, like, the class, human would be a good one, because you get the additional human feats as well as being a fighter, so you get feat overload.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, depending on how you want to play your fighter, maybe a dwarf, or maybe even a half-orc if you chose it.
I would go with human.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to play a fighter, you're doing it for the feats. So you might as well just stack up on those feats.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what I mentioned with a barbarian. Even if you don't play, like, a fighter, it wouldn't be a bad idea to, like, dip into a fighter if you're going to, like, multi-class. Just for the bonus feats.
I agree.
All right. Next up at number 5, we have the base ranger.
Having played a ranger before, and playing a ranger now, I could safely say that a ranger is a fighter done better. They have relatively the same saves, except for... With a ranger, you can add your ranger level to most of your saves, most of the time. Especially if you know how to synergize. You can do that with a fighter too, but with rangers it pays off more. Yeah. Plus, not only do you get favored enemies, which are awesome, because you put out 3 to 4 times more damage, just in the kind of race that they are, or the kind of enemy that they are, they make great roleplay fodder, because they can do anything.
Yep.
They get... awesome dungeon special abilities and feats and such. They get not only to mention they have spells, which, albeit they don't have the feats that fighters do, they make up for it in spells. So they can imbue their arrows with special effects. They can sense things in the dungeon that only, like, elves or rogues could sense. They can do all those things. Rangers are really malleable. And they can attack and hit hard.
Yeah.
And with range, so they don't have to get up close.
And that honestly is probably their biggest strength. Like, as well as, like, the fact that not only are they primarily a ranged character, they can also semi-hold themselves up if somebody actually broke the lines and got to them. You know, with a hit die of D8, you know, they have decent health. as well as the fact that, like, you know, they can go two-handed, or if need be, like, if they're shooting arrows and people are starting to break the lines through the tank and starting to get to them, they can easily, like, swap to, like, one, like, either dual-wielding weapons or, like two-handed weapon, you know, like a two-handed weapon, and just start doing damage that way, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't all too common, but if you were to, say, like, do an individual session, like, just you and a DM just to have a good time or something, I'd recommend the Ranger to be, like, the class that you would pick. It gives you enough, like, options to go with. You have enough fluidity. Your skills, you get some pretty good skills, and your skill points, like, per level, you get 6 plus your int modifier, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that you do get spells as well as an animal companion.
Yep.
Which, if you utilize both, you know, you can make a great Ranger.
Yep. Yeah, Rangers are awesome.
Yeah.
That's why I played one. Rangers are great.
All right. You know, that was starting our top 5, so now at number 4 we're going to have the Sorcerer. Sorcs are really fun to play as. Sorcs are probably one of my favorite classes. Now, that said, a Sorc is heavily reliant upon its party. I would never really recommend, like, doing a small part, like, doing an individual session with a Sorcerer. They only have a D4 for their hit die.
Mm-hmm.
And their saves, their will save is fantastic, but everything else is really not great at all. You know, their skill points, you get 2 plus int, which is a little unfortunate because sorcerers get their spells through charisma instead of intelligence. But that said, you have a good amount of spells per day. You actually have more spells per day than a wizard does. But the biggest drawback, the biggest strength and weakness in the sorcerer is that they're the spells that you pick. You only pick them and you get them. You don't have to prepare them ever, but those are the only spells that you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending upon the DM, you might be able to swap some out per, like, level up. But outside of that, yeah, that's all that you get. You know, you get a familiar, which is helpful. It boosts some things it doesn't. And it's next to, like, Bard, it's one of the easiest, like, spellcasting,
yeah,
classes to get into if it's your first time.
Yeah, just this, the ability to cast without preparing is super easy. It's a great beginner class for magic users, I feel like. I feel like if you want to be a magic user, you try a sorcerer first to get a good layout of how it works.
Yeah.
Start off with, it's going to suck, but it pays off eventually, and you start feeling like a badass after a while.
Yeah.
And you start getting broken after 9th level.
That's the thing, like, this is the definition of glass cannon. You know, you pretty much have to suffer through, like, first to 6th level, you kind of have to suck it up and deal with it. You know, they're not great, and they're not terrible either. Once you hit, like, about 7th or 8th level, that's when, like, you're about on par with everybody else. And then when you get to, like, 12th level, that's when you start, like, it's an exponential growth. The spells that you get are fantastic. The saves are really hard to hit. The damage that you're doing is ridiculous. And, to put it in perspective, I'm an 11th level sorcerer in the same campaign that that Zach's a paladin. And I already learned Baleful Polymorph. So any enemy that I'm fighting, if they fail their save, I can turn them into, like, a hamster. Mm-hmm. And they're done. They're useless.
Yep.
And then once you get to 9th level spells, doing things like time stops, meteor mash, you're done.
Yep. Sorcerers are pretty wicked.
Yeah.
And then we get to druids.
Yeah. Number 3 we have druid. Now,
which are broken all the time.
They are broken all the time. The reason why druid's only number 3 is because the way that you truly optimize a druid, you have to, like, dip into a couple of other things. And this is only going from classes 1 to 20. So, like, we're not dipping into other things to add on to it. But druids, you get divine spells, which are fantastic. You know, they're a lot more support than, like, a sorcerer is, or a wizard at that point, too. Because they're using arcane spells. The divine spells are a lot more support. They'll help heal, they'll buff and debuff, they'll slow enemies, they'll do all that kind of stuff. They have some damage output, but ultimately, like, their biggest thing is support. And then you get Wild Shape, where you can turn into... Start off with only, like, medium or small creatures, but the more you level up, you can turn into more things. Mm-hmm. Bigger things to give yourself greater HP.
Like a bear.
Like a bear. You can turn into a bear at level 8.
Or a honey badger.
Or a honey badger. Like, you could actually do that the moment that you get Wild Shape. That's at level that's at level 5. You can turn into a honey badger right then and there.
Or a dinosaur.
Dinosaur, you can. You can. It takes a little bit, because you gotta get to the 15th level to get the huge. But you can do that. And then what makes the druid even more broken, on top of all of this, is they get an animal companion. But it's a lot...
Like a dinosaur!
Like a dinosaur! And it's a lot better than the rangers, because the ranger has like an effective druid level of half of their level. So like, it takes a ranger to get to level 4 to get their first animal companion, which a druid gets at level 2. The animal companions that you get are fantastic. And if you choose certain feats, you can get great, great, fantastic animal companions. Like the one that I'm playing as now, albeit I'm still waiting for her to level up to get to the next one. But I can get a Displacer Beast at level 7. Not hard to do at all. And then that'll eventually get up to, like, acid-spewing dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other crazy things. Druid, you know what? I would say it would be a tie between a ranger and a druid if you're going to do a solo campaign to pick as either one of them. Because, you know, you have enough support when it comes to spells that where you can hurt the enemies, and then you can send in your animal companion to do damage. Because if you keep on leveling up that animal companion when you level up, you know, you're gonna have a pretty heavy hitter, and it'll be all nice.
Yep.
As well as the fact that when you cast any sort of like buffing spell on yourself, that works on your animal too, automatically. That's just the first level thing that you get. All right. At number 2, we have cleric.
Clerics are fucking insane against undead. They are crazy against undead. Just like paladins are against evil. Even more so with undead.
Yeah.
Because not only can they turn undead like paladins can, they can rebuke undead, which is flat out just destroy undead.
Yeah.
So zombos and assholes that are undead, anybody undead.
Liches. Just think of like the powers of a lich.
Anything... Clerics can ruin liches.
Yeah.
That's their job. That's why they're on the earth. Is that it's to clear all the ill will from the planet. And not only that, but they are amazing healers.
Fantastic healers. Honestly, like, they have some of the best healing spells in the game. Until we get to, like, other non-base classes. You know, their skills are pretty good, too. It's 2 plus int modifier. You're not going to put too much into int, so, like, eh. But at the same point, you have the spells and stuff to do the jobs that, like, a skill would do. Yeah, as playing a cleric in the past, if you're just the party's healer, you're playing a cleric wrong. Because if you pick the certain domains and stuff that'll give you boosts, you can do much more damage than, like, a fighter would. Or even like a druid would. Albeit, it is a lot of character optimization. You do have to, like, prep your character for that. But if you do that, you can hold your own really well and do mm-hmm. a lot of damage. If you're going up against, like, undead, you're a godsend. Mm-hmm. Like Zach said. Even if you're not going up against undead, you'll still do a hefty sum of damage. Some weaknesses, their reflex is really not that good. Their reflex save is not great. They do have decent fort and will saves, and they don't get too many spells per day. That's about the biggest issue. Now, one other thing too that you have to consider is they're similar to paladins in the fact that they have to play up to their god, not nearly as bad as a paladin does, but like they have to like follow the teachings. Mm-hmm. So you can ultimately like. Not really disobey, but, like, if a god tells you to do something, and it really goes against, your interpretation of the god, you can choose not to do that without having to worry about your powers going away. Whereas, like, as a paladin, if a god tells you to do it, you do it. whether you feel it's great or not, or even if you feel like the god's going against himself, you still got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Here, that's not the case. And now, if we were going with, like, again, if we're going with prestige classes or alternate classes, cleric would actually be my number one, like, in terms of just, like, how powerful they can be. But as it stands in Player's Handbook 1, cleric is number two. Number one
is a wizard.
The wizard.
Like Gandalf.
Like Gandalf.
Or other wizards. Like Gandalf.
Just like Gandalf. Or Dumbledore. But we don't care about Dumbledore.
We care about Gandalf. Because his movie's cooler.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an unpopular opinion.
Yeah. But that's an unpopular opinion I will stick with to the death. But yeah, wizards. Talk about glass cannon to like, the nth degree. Their spells are fantastic. They do have the same spells as sorcerers, but with a few additional, like, wizard-exclusive ones. You know, their will save, it's on par, or it's actually the exact same. Most of their stats are the same as the sorcerers, but the fact that, like I mentioned, that how the sorcerer has, like, their greatest strength and weakness in the fact that they only have spells known. Wizards, they have to prepare their spells, and if you're dealing with, like, a really by-the-book DM, you have to prepare your spells at the start of the day. So you have to, like, kind of mentally guess what spells you may or may not use that day. But, like, the campaign that I DM, we have a wizard, and I don't make him do that. Our buddy's campaign, we don't have a wizard in that campaign, but I feel like as if we did, he probably wouldn't make us do that either.
He wouldn't... I feel like... He would just say, I think he would just make you declare that you're preparing your spells. I don't think he would make you declare each spell you're preparing, because technically I think you have to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, technically, you have to prepare the spells, but you also have to prepare the specific spell. So, like, you have to, like, prepare, for example, a fireball. Whether you use that fireball in that day or not, doesn't matter. But, like, that's one of your spell slots. You're gonna use the fireball. You can't convert that to something else until you get, like, feats and stuff to support that. But even with those feats, it's with, like, lower level spells that don't really matter. So if you're playing a wizard and you're dealing with, like, a DM that's not gonna go by the book and make you choose everything to start with, and just you have, like, your spell book and you just read off of there and boom, 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 you're doing that. Yeah. You can range from specialist to support to glass cannon all in an instant. Like, mm-hmm. Honestly, especially if your DM gives you access to the spell compendium, which is a different book, but if he gives you access to that, spells that it gives you, you're game-breaking.
Yep. Wizards are overpowered.
Wizards are extremely OP. Now, are they the most OP thing in here? Based off of, like, just PHB 1 and Dungeon Master's Guide... Yes, they are. But if you add supplementary things, they're not. If you add supplementary things in, like, prestige classes, I would say, like, out of our list, Wizard would be down to three, with Druid and Cleric being above it.
But that being said, we all know that Monk is the best class.
Oh, definitely. Monk is 10 out of 10, 11 out of 11 best class.
11 out of 10. Must rent. Must not buy.
Yeah, 11 out of 10, don't even touch.
Thanks, IGN.
And yeah, like I said, you know, there are obviously some optimizations you can do to alter this a little bit. And if you play a fantastic monk and you're dealing with somebody that doesn't know how to play like a druid or something, you might even do better than them. But if you're taking, you know, players that know what they're doing, pitting them against, you know, players that know what they're doing, this is generally going to be what would happen there. A lot of it is subjected to DM's approval, and if you get some things that, like, we didn't mention in here because they're not in the books that we mentioned, you can kind of tip the tides a little bit more. Like, rogues will actually go a little bit higher if you add in, like, prestige classes. Barbarians would probably stay the same. Monks would probably stay the same. Most likely the lower stuff would probably stay the same. Paladin might get a little bit of a spike. Fighter would. Ranger might go down a little bit. But, like, the top three would only change within each other.
Yep.
And then you add other things like artificers, and that's when you get a lot more powerful.
Yep.
But, yeah, you know, this is our first episode, you know, of Couch Musings, and at this point, you know, this is just a topic that we thought about. We'll probably be covering a large variety of topics, you know, so stay tuned for our next one. Maybe D&D related, maybe something completely different.
Probably something different.
Probably.
Probably D&D related.
Probably.
Who knows?
Who knows? You're going to have to listen to find out. But anyway, this is Logan.
And this is Zach.
And, you know, have a good time, and if you can get into D&D, go ahead and do it. I would recommend it.
Bye.